All right, what were you thinking on Sunday? Honestly, I was having this conversation with Scott Ramsey on Tuesday, the president and CEO of the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. I was talking to him about it. As somebody who used to work in athletics, I thought this was a very bad look. It wasn't like this college football playoff committee really did a great job of ranking the top 25 anyway. They debated who was number one, and they debated which team was going to be playing and representing the group of five. And that's it, because if you look at their other rankings, they did a horrible job. And so, but the problem is they delayed this so long in this made-for-TV event with the four teams being released and the breakdown of all four teams, that because they allowed it to linger as far as the matchups, releasing the top 25 before they started releasing the other bowl arrangements, just so much negativity that was out there on social media on Sunday. I thought it was a bad look for college football. I thought it was a bad look for the fan base of Tennessee. There's a lot of egg on the face after Sunday.
Yeah, it's so I'll just tell you, I think that this is what I believe based on speaking to people that were around the situation. I believe that that Tennessee had an agreement in place that they were going to be at the Music City Bowl where they get Louisville. And I believe that there were two very large boosters who raised utter heck about that. That why are we not going to – they wanted to be in Florida because that's where the bowl trip that they wanted to go into. And they raised heck about that. And so Fulmer went back and said, hey, sorry, this the deal we worked out doesn't work for us. And so that's kind of – he pulled a Doug Dickey, right? It's something that Coach Dickey used to do a lot around here was to Tennessee wanted something, he would – pound the table until he got what he wanted. I do think that Coach Fulmer said, hey, look, normally we would be able to choose the bowl we want to go to, especially if we're the first choice of the bowl. They'd agreed to do the thing that would sell the most tickets, which is get Kentucky versus Indiana in the Gator Bowl, Tennessee against Louisville in the Music City Bowl, and that game, the Music City Bowl, sells out. You still sell a ton of tickets to the Gator Bowl, and it is what it is with Virginia Tech and Mississippi State. And I do believe that a couple of boosters really, really, really leaned on the university hard. And they ended up saying, okay, hey, no, I know that we had verbally agreed on this deal, but we want to go to the bowl game that we were normally would have been slotted to go to.
Well, I understand that these boosters and what a great job they do, especially when they're involved in the hiring process, when there's vacancies. They do realize this is Jacksonville, right? It's not like it's lower part where they're going to get balmy weather. I mean, it gets cold this time of year in the north part of Florida. I hope they understand that.
Well, I do think that, and one of the big problems that Tennessee has is you have boosters who look at things the way that they used to be, right? That, you know, they didn't want Kyle Whittingham because he's coming from Utah. Then we'll go get the guy that worked with Saban. They didn't want you had a booster that was emailing and sending messages to John Curry saying, why would we try to go hire Dan Mullen? Look at his career record, not realizing what Mississippi State was before Dan Mullen got there. So that's one of those things that I think has been a big, frankly, the disease for Tennessee has been the boosters are not in touch with current day and age college football. And I think this is one of those things. I think that they didn't realize, if I'm just being honest, that the Music City Bowl, the Tax Slayer Bowl, Liberty Bowl, Belk Bowl are kind of all on the same tier now, whereas the Gator Bowl used to be kind of a step above
right.
The bowl in Charlotte, the bowl in Nashville, and things like that. I just don't think that they're aware of the changes that happen with the bowl system because they don't really pay attention to what's going on in football day in, day out, yet they have the type of say that would dictate that you probably should be educated day in, day out on what's going on.
Well, especially when you try to throw your influence around, and this goes back to what we've been talking about for several years now. If it comes down to important things, important decisions that have to be made about this athletics program, especially football, this is the kind of thinking that's involved behind this decision making. And there are always these faceless individuals that have no accountability, no blame whatsoever when things don't go right.
No, absolutely, right? They just walk away from it and they cut a bigger check the next time. So they just cut the check that's going to pay off for everything. So that's about it. I mean, that's kind of what they do is, you know, you're right. They have big say in the matter of tons of big egos about this. They've cut a big check. Tennessee has a lot of those guys. And I do think that's one of the problems that Tennessee's had. Tennessee's boosters are really, really good. There are just so many of them that you have to split the baby in half so many different times that by the time you've appeased everyone in the room, you end up with some, I don't know, abomination of a decision that you would have made had you just had one person in the room. It's the biggest strength that Philip Fulmer has, I think, and because I don't think since Doug Dickey has been here, have you had an athletics director that the boosters will just get out of the way and let him do his job for the most part. I do think for the most part they will allow Philip Fulmer to do that. this is a little bit of an exception to it.
I just go back to this team when they were 1-4, a team that lost to Georgia State, lost to BYU, 1-4. Yeah, they rallied to get to 7-5, but the bottom line is they're 7-5. You know, it kind of reminds me of that, you know, that kid that gets a card from his grandmother. I used this analogy earlier this week. Gets that card from the grandmother who's on a fixed income. She sends, you know, $5 or $10, and the kid goes, doesn't even read the card where it says, I love you, grandson, whatever. Just tosses the card, go, $10, what the heck? What, this will do nothing for me. And instead of being thankful that they're bowl eligible, that they're going anywhere, all this backlash, we deserve better. That's just pure nonsense to me. And you know, honestly, if there's payback in the whole world of college football, they'll get spanked big time in the Gator Bowl.
Most possibly. Now let's see what Indiana. I think Tennessee can probably go out and just out athlete Indiana at the end of the day. I think they're a well coached team. Indiana is. Tennessee has been able to just go out and out athlete teams towards the end of the schedule, and I think that they probably do the same thing against Indiana at the end of the day. That's one thing that has kind of always been head scratching around here is how can Tennessee not beat these teams where this team has, you know, 13, 4 or 5 star players. Period on their roster, and the rest are 3 and 2 star, and Tennessee sitting with 45, 4 and 5 star players in the roster, yet they can't seem to beat them. That's one of the things I think that Tennessee has done under Jeremy Pruitt right now is their athletes go win their individual battles out there on the field, and now that they're limiting mistakes, that they get the win. So I do think this is going to be a win against Tennessee, against Indiana. Frankly, I do think it may even be a better matchup for Tennessee than Louisville would have been. Scott Satterfield can coach, man. So that was not a matchup I think the Tennessee people were looking forward to having to face. To go with either was having to face Scott Satterfield. So it would have been probably more interesting had Michael Penix, you know, not gotten injured earlier this year, because he was a guy that wanted to come to Tennessee, and Tyson Helton didn't want him. He wanted instead JT Shrout. Now Michael Penix is the starting quarterback in the Big Ten, and JT Shrout, who knows if he transfers or not this year, but it looks like he's going to be number 4 on the depth chart next season. And nothing against JT Shroud. He just probably needs to be at like a little bit of a lower level until he learns to kind of hit the underneath passes. But that would have been a kind of an interesting storyline there. But I do think that when I look at the wins versus losses, I think Indiana's a really well-coached team. I think that Tennessee probably out-athletes them in this game.
And I'm not going to disagree with you from that standpoint, all the things that you brought up. But, you know, bowl games are obviously very different than, say, the regular season. And we don't know what the motivation is going to be. We don't know how fired up teams are going to be. I mean, I give you a great example. Look at last year's Music City Bowl. You know, everybody just thought Purdue was going to have their way with Auburn. And boy, was that a shocker and a surprise with the way Auburn just was scoring every second, it seemed like, against Purdue. But no, from what I was talking about, just from a humbling experience with that attitude, they would deserve something like that where Indiana takes care of business.
Oh, yeah, the boosters probably would. I would say for these kids, I mean, these kids don't care. They just want to go play. You know what I mean? Like, so at the end of the day for them, I don't even think the coaches really cared a whole lot about where the next opponent was. But and I would say of the, you know, 6-7 really big boosters that Tennessee has, from what I'm told, it was 2 of them, and one of them was very, very, very loud about it. And that booster maybe cut a big check this year, and so that's why Tennessee went back and said, okay, hey. But it's also the reason why, for anybody out there that likes to go to the window, there's a reason why those 3 bowl games that the line wasn't out either was because Tennessee's boosters kind of came in and blew that up as well. So it did make a lot of people upset. It kind of upset the apple cart a little bit for just about everybody. And also, I don't know if you read the Elvin piece today at The Athletic, where you had a number of Tennessee fans that when they found that when the reports came out, went ahead and bought hotel rooms and tickets to the Music City Bowl.
Right.
That they are now stuck with, and they're going to get back, you know, far less money on this thing.
Oh, absolutely. Having a chance once again to visit with Will S., maybe the booster will refund them their money. Since he's got all that money throwing around, and just, you know, help them out, you know, just to show, like, you know, that he's a real Tennessee Vols. I mean, that's what we should. All right, what does the Juwan Jennings suspension mean for the Vols, especially in the first half?
Not a whole lot. I don't think Tennessee. I don't think they liked it. I don't think that they
deserved it. They deserved it.
You can't. There's no question. You can't allow that whatsoever. You can't have that happen.
Is that a bad look? Is that a bad look? I mean, I know everybody wants to play close to the vest in Knoxville because they don't want to offend anybody associated with that football program. But the reality is, to me, it is certainly he deserved it. But it's a bad look, the fact that Phil Fulmer and that athletics program don't understand that.
Well, I think that the tournament playoff, that he didn't mean to do it. So that's what I think is going on there. And I think they thought that something should have happened at the time instead of later for Juwan. And I, look, at the end of the day, you can't have a guy stepping on a guy's face. You can't have that. And there's no deniability once Juwan's over top of him, once they've slid out of bounds in the rain, and he's over top of him with over the top of him with his hands on him, you know, jawing into his face. Then when he gets up and that happens, he has no deniability, in my opinion.
All right, look, it's like the Egg Bowl. In the Ole Miss game versus Mississippi State, when he scored the touchdown, he knew he was going to get down on his knees in that end zone and pretend he's a dog and urinating, right? That whole, you know, he didn't mean to do it, wasn't thinking about do it, doesn't mean anything to me because he did it. You know, I don't care what his intentions were. It wasn't like before the game as he was suiting up. You know, when I have the opportunity late in the ball game, if we're cruising because we've lost three times in a row to Vanderbilt, I am going to find the opportunity to stomp on the face of one of the Vanderbilt Commodores. That's not what your thinking is. But the reality is, I don't know what your intentions are. The bottom line is he did it. You know, it wasn't like he was just stomping to be stomping. It wasn't like he was in a step show. He was stomping to stomp on the Vanderbilt player.
Well, I do think that intent matters there, because if you accidentally step on a guy, like, that's one thing. And if they call the SEC, calls Tennessee, or somebody from Tennessee asks Juwan, the first thing he says is, I cannot believe I did that. Totally didn't mean to do it. I apologize. Is he okay? I want to reach out and make sure that he's okay. If there was any other response than that, then you have to presume that he intended to do it, right? And if he intended to do it, frankly, I don't know that it's good enough at the end of the day. So I said, I would have just said, you're done, right? I would have had that conversation, did you mean to do it? If there was anything other than full denial and heartfelt apology, I would have just said, you can go do your college, you're done in college football, and you can go do whatever you want to in the National Football League, but you're done here.
And, you know, but he didn't feel bad enough to pretend he's Peyton Manning and go up and lead the band at the end of the game.
Yeah, no, it absolutely, absolutely. I agree with you there.
All right, so other things that you're watching out for. The most important thing, we always talk about these teams that are bowl eligible, is the extra practice time. And when you're looking up and you see Georgia and Florida in your division, you know, these are key opportunities just to get better, especially the younger players. Because, you know, it's almost like having an additional spring practice, for example.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, it helps out. Now, you know, what's interesting is Hyams pulled this, the numbers. For Tennessee specifically, having the extra bowl practices hasn't necessarily meant more success the next year. But I think there's so many young guys here that long-term this is going to have a lot of success for them. And I do think, considering, you know, almost half the season the culture here was just terrible, I think it's a very, very, very good thing for Tennessee to be to have these practices where the culture is going as well as it is. And so that, to me, is just absolutely huge. And I think it will be very good for Tennessee next year, especially because you won't have Daniel Batuli lining everybody up in position every time. You won't have Trey Smith, who's going to be there at guard, that's going to be that solidifying force, showing the freshman tackle on one side what he needs to do. And we don't know what Brandon Kennedy, what's going to happen there. So him not being there and somebody else working at center, it'll be good to have somebody else working there with the number of injuries that Brandon Kennedy's had. So I do think that these things are beneficial for Tennessee to get these practices in. Josh Palmer, getting him extra work, good work for the other receivers that are out there, especially knowing that Juwan Jennings is suspended. Marcus Callaway and Jennings aren't going to be there next year. And think about what an enormous load of the offense that they shouldered, during this whole season. So that's a lot of it for Tennessee, is I think getting more young guys more work, and maybe the guys that are coming back more work, so these young guys that haven't got first-team reps all season.
In 60 seconds, if you can nail it in 60 seconds, why was the culture so bad for the first half of the season?
I don't think that they like each other at the end of the day. Like, I just don't. I don't think that the coach, I don't think the players trusted the coaches. I don't think the coaches had a relationship with the players. I also think Tennessee they have a full staff of butt kickers outside of maybe one guy. And you can have a butt kicker or two, but you need somebody who's going to be good cop as well. And Tennessee had one good cop, and the rest of the staff's bad cop. And that is tough. It's tough for guys to win. Well, eventually you allowed players to be the ones that kind of policed what was going on the sidelines. So it wasn't everybody kicking and screaming and yelling at everyone. And Juwan Jennings and Trey Smith were the guys that stepped up in that situation, and Daniel Batuli. And that's what made the culture get so much better, was the players being empowered and taking it on themselves to be the leaders there.